Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Episode 197 of Blue Jays Nation Radio is brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Futures odds for Major League Baseball. Maybe you got an inkling on a spring training game. Maybe you're looking to get the latest NHL, NBA odds. They have it all over at Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for best sportsbook operator. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Yaremchuk and Coomzee with you once again for episode 197, a little spring training update. Coomzee, how are you doing?
It's early March. It's minus 25 outside. I've sneezed over 100 times this morning. I don't know what's going on. This is ideal, man. This is spring. Here we are.
Yeah. This is spring. I'm doing this podcast to procrastinate having to go outside and shovel right now, which is not something I enjoy saying on a baseball podcast, but it is bright and sunny down in Florida. The Jays are in action right now as we're recording this against the Boston Red Sox, but there's a handful of headlines floating around, so we figured we'd hop on and do a little 15-20 minute weekend update podcast. And Coomzee, the big news over the last 48 hours is the news that Matt Chapman has signed with the San Francisco Giants, a 3-year deal that's not really a 3-year deal. It's worth a total of $54 million, but he's got two opt-outs in it. So he can opt out. If he goes and has a banging year, he can just be like, I'm done. I'm going back to free agency. But that price tag, I think when you see the headline come across, 3 years and only $54 million, I think rightfully a lot of Jays fans, myself included, are sitting there going, why is Ross Atkins not paying more than that for this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising. It's not surprising that Matt Chapman wound up signing this contract. I think last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, that Cody Bellinger re-signed that deal with the Chicago Cubs. It was something similar, 3 years, 80 mils, an opt-out after each year, gives him the ability to try free agency if he has another good season without the draft pick compensation attached, which again, obviously makes it easier for you in free agency. It's not surprising this exact contract was signed after we saw the Bellinger one, but it's surprising that it wasn't with the Jays. It seemed like when Bellinger signed that deal, it was like, all right, the Cubs had the advantage because if you're another team, why would you potentially sacrifice a draft pick and international slot money for a guy who could be there and then opt out and then walk the following year, or, you know, opt out and demand more money to come back, whatever the situation is. But despite the Blue Jays being in that same situation where they have the draft pick advantage, Chapman still wound up signing with a different team. He joins the San Francisco Giants. They have to give up a draft pick and they have to give up money, and he could leave them right after. So it's surprising. It's surprising that it wasn't the Jays who wound up making this deal, but I guess here we are now. We don't have to sit here in spring training and wonder, all right, is there, you know, a big name player who's going to come and improve the roster? Is there a savior? No, there's not. It's just whoever's on the roster and they're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, it is disappointing. I do wonder a little bit, like, not that I really want to give Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro the benefit out of the doubt after what little activity we saw over the winter. And we do know they made a rich offer for Chapman, or a more rich offer for Chapman, at some point last season or at the beginning of the winter. He turned it down thinking he could get more. But Matt Chapman's a guy born in California, born in Victoriaville, whatever it is. He played his high school in California. He played his college in California. I wonder if maybe he wasn't just like, you know what? If I'm going to take the short term, lower money deal somewhere, I'm going to play back at home. I'm going to go back to the Bay Area. Obviously played, started his career in Oakland. I wonder if maybe that was a factor working against the Jays here.
We never really know ultimately what a player's priority is, and though it might seem from a distance. So yeah, Matt Chapman's a well-liked player on the Blue Jay. It seemed like he had a good time here. Seemed like it was a perfect fit. Seemed like it made a whole bunch of sense. You never really know. I mean, like you said, this is a guy who grew up. He went to high school in California. He went to college there, drafted by the Oakland A's, spent the first part of his career. Of course, being traded to Canada, playing in Toronto is a pretty significant difference than what you know. So, I mean, maybe if he was going to sign a deal with the Jays, it would have come in at more than that, you know, 3 years, $54 million, the 2018 and 16 that he got from San Francisco. Maybe it would have cost more, but I don't know. It's hard to say, because it seemed the Jays did have interest in Matt Chapman, because during the season, there's a report they offered a 5 or 6 year deal, one that was over $100 million, and he turned it down. So if there was that level of interest previously, what's the change? And I mean, I don't know. It seems like there was interest from both sides, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out.
So now we're sitting here, and like you said, there's no savior coming. There's no big splash coming that's going to make this front office's winter or offseason look any different than it currently is. So who does this put the most pressure on to actually perform next year? I mean, obviously, there's pressure facing Ross Atkins that these kind of little bets he took all over the place need to work out. I think Justin Turner's got to find a way to be this year's Brandon Belt to some extent, maybe not as impactful, but somewhere in that range. And then what you're looking at, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa finding a way to outproduce the contract they gave him, which is probably a rich contract to begin with. Like, my point is, it's hard to be optimistic looking at these guys and saying, boy, I believe IKF can have a big year. Like, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it's not really easy to come into this and think, oh yeah, they've got, I mean, I don't know. Since they signed Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, I've kind of tried to look at it like, oh, this guy was brought in to replace Whit Merrifield. Justin Turner was brought in to replace Brandon Belt. I'm trying to not view it as, you know, IKF is supposed to be the new Chapman. But now that Chapman is gone and there isn't another addition, it's straight up just, okay, a guy who put up 7.7 wins above replacement over the past two seasons, which is second on the team over those 2 years behind only Bo Bichette, is gone. And, you know, two of the free agents you did go and bring in are replacing two other solid, productive veteran players. So the hope is that IKF and Justin Turner can bring what Merrifield and Belt brought. And we haven't even talked about making up for what you've lost with Chapman here. So, I mean, the other challenge is, we've talked about this before too, I mean, as many things went wrong last year. Vladdy, Alejandro Kirk, Dalton Barshow didn't have a great year. George Springer, a lot of things went right as well. So, I mean, the pitching staff is fantastic. They had a really good bill of health. You're kind of now hoping that all that stuff happens again with the pitching and defense, the good health, the good results, and you're hoping the offense improves. So you need a bunch of players to bounce back so that you can be at least as good as last year. But you're doing that without one of your best players. So imagining the Blue Jays not just, you know, improving from year to year, like them being better in 2024, it's sort of getting hard to wrap your head around them being as good as they were last year, which is, this is the first time we've come into a season thinking, is this team even going to be better than the one we just watched? And I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on it. Remember the year they lost to Seattle? That winter was all about, okay, no more of this going up, swinging out of your shoes, trying to let the long ball save you every night. We're going to become a fundamentally better baseball team. And then the talk after losing to Minnesota was like, whoa, okay, the pendulum swung too far to the other side. They didn't have enough pop. They didn't have enough any really players who could step up in a big moment and make plays. And it was like, okay, this winter is going to be all about getting somewhere back to the middle. And they just flat out didn't do that. So we're looking at another year where we're watching a team whose bread and butter will be defense, even though you lost Matt Chapman, and pitching, which again, a lot, when you want to talk about things that went right, pitching staff that stayed more or less 100% healthy and had bounce backs from Berríos and Kikuchi, a lot went right there. But Coombsy, as we switch gears a little bit, I want to talk about the pitching staff here, because there are some headlines out of spring training surrounding that, mainly on the injury front. Alek Manoah has a, quote, cranky right shoulder. I don't really know what that means. There's some discomfort, but the fact that he did not look good in his first outing and is now sitting on the sidelines, not throwing. And I know eventually, I think at some point this week, they said he's going to get back on the mound, but that is really not good. This is a disastrous start to the spring for Manoah.
Yeah, that's really definitely not what you want to see. I mean, we can probably look past the first outing. At least you can kind of gain some positives. You can be like, all right, the velocity was good. The command was nowhere to be found, but at least there was one thing to lean into. It felt like his slider had a bit more life, felt like the velocity was there. Alek Manoah spoke about it after, and he drew some positives from it. The Blue Jays did too. So you think, all right, this is solid. Like the results weren't there, but whatever. It's a spring training game. There's some process that we can give a thumbs up to, but now it's like, well, after finding that extra velocity and a start, he's now dealing with some arm issues. So you're kind of wondering, this goes all the way back to last year and us not really actually ever knowing what fully went on with Alek Manoah. Like, you know, he was named opening day starter, had the rough start, had a terrible run, and then got sent down to the Florida Complex League. He came back up, seemed to think that when he was back up, he was going to run the rest of the way, made a handful of starts, real mixed bag. They send him down to make room on the roster, Pyeongjin Ryu, and Manoah doesn't come back for the rest of the year. And then there's that conundrum between him and the team. Is he supposed to be in AAA Buffalo? Is he supposed to be on the injured reserve? You know, is he actually injured? He thought he was. The team didn't. They were getting all those extra checks. Have they actually really completely figured out what is going wrong here? Or is this just like the problems that were there last year have just lingered all the way into this year? The saga is so bizarre to me that I just really don't know what to expect. And I think it's kind of difficult given everything that's gone on to be optimistic about it. But maybe that's just, you know, the vibes don't feel great right now and everything's kind of just like Matt Chapman just signed elsewhere. The vibes don't feel fantastic. Maybe we're just letting that leak everywhere. But for me, it's just, I don't know. It's, I'm not, I have a hard time feeling optimistic about this situation.
Yeah. So Manoah, he's not throwing. Tiedemann, I know they said he's going to, I think he was scheduled to throw at some point this weekend or in the next coming days. Uriel Rodriguez still hasn't thrown a ball for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I was reading Keegan Matheson's piece over at MLB.com the other day, and he talked about in a couple examples he used. Like, remember when Alejandro Kirk was banged up, got a late start. Then last year, he just never really found momentum. He spent the whole year, it felt like, trying to play catch up. And Matheson pointed out the year Yusei Kikuchi became a Blue Jay. He signed late. He got a late start in spring and then just never really played catch up. Like, we've seen examples of guys who, I know it's easy right now to just be like, ah, it's spring. Like, who cares? As long as they're ready for opening day, like, that's fine. But being ready for opening day and being on the same level as everyone else on opening day are kind of two different things. And it's happened in the past. And I mean, the history is a good indicator of the future. If you're behind in spring training, it can be tough to get back everything and be back on the same level as everyone come opening day. The nice part for the Jays is that it looks like they do actually have a little bit of depth. And one name that just keeps popping up is Bowden Francis. We've heard his teammates praise him over and over again. We're hearing great things about him from the front office and the management. And you kind of sit and look back at last year, Coombsy. Well, 1.73 ERA over just a hair over 36 innings. Like, maybe we aren't giving Bowden Francis enough love as like a legitimate MLB option this year. A guy who could not just be, you know, a dude who eats innings for you, but a guy who can be elite and impactful. Elite's a stretch. Impactful.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Impactful. Yeah. He kind of looks like the arm that could fill that Ross Stripling role that they wanted to fill it with Mitch White. It was like, all right, Ross Stripling is going to leave. He's going to cash in on his payday. He had a great season in 2022. And they went out and acquired Mitch White at that same year's trade deadline, and a couple years of control left. And it's like, all right, this guy is going to be the number six starter, the bullpen arm who goes back and forth whenever it's necessary. And that hasn't really worked out thus far, though. There are some positive signs about Mitch White. His velocity is way up for the first time since he was in the LA Dodgers organization. So maybe that's something. But between him and Bowden Francis, you'd think that this year they will have someone to fill that role, because that was such a blind spot on the team last year. Like, we just got finished talking about the Manoah situation, and he goes down to the Complex League in June, and the team had to operate for like a month, almost 2 months, with the four and a half man rotation, essentially, because it was Francis and Trevor Richards doing the piggyback thing every fifth day. And then, you know, your bullpen goes from 8 to 6 guys, basically, because if those two combine to throw 6 innings, then they obviously can't come out of the pen the next day. But it's an interesting situation because, you know, if things do continue to kind of snowball south for Manoah here, there's an arm issue, he isn't able to throw, it keeps getting pushed back, you never know, like, knock on wood that this is fine. But it does seem this year like there are more options to kind of fill that spot. And I mean, for somebody like Francis, coming off of the momentum that was last year and how good he was, and he obviously probably earned some trust from John Schneider and Pete Walker, I don't think it's unreasonable to think, all right, if Alec Manoah has a rough spring training, then there are two guys there, one of which, Mitch White, is out of options. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be afraid necessarily to have one of those guys be the fifth starter.
And we heard the talk from John Schneider coming into this year about Manoah was he's got to come into camp and earn it. This guy's, they have no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt. I could still see there being some lingering frustration with the way things were handled by Manoah's camp and Manoah last year. So yeah, it's far from a lock when you consider the injuries, what Bowden Francis did this year, how he's looked early on in spring, that it's like, he could very well be their fifth starter coming out of the spring. Guys like Paulo Espino, he's looked great so far through 5 innings this spring. Connor Cook's looked good. Mitch White looked good. Chad Dallas, their number 13 prospect, has looked good. Like, you kind of go down the list and it's like, they're actually, and it's early days of spring training, you're facing a lot of single A, double A caliber hitters. So that needs to be included in the conversation. But still, while we're sitting here ragging on the group of fielders and hitters they might have, the group of arms actually might be really, really deep, and it could lead to them having potentially a really good bullpen this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing is the Blue Jays are supposed to become like a pitching factory. That's the complex in Dunedin, all of this. You look at Shapiro Atkins, their background in Cleveland. What Cleveland did well was pitching. They were a run suppression team. That's what they brought to Toronto with a bigger budget. And I mean, you'd think now we're the complex has been open for a few years, the Blue Jays should start to see the benefit of that as time goes along. We're getting to a point now where, you know, we should start to see these arms that people have been talking about. This Blue Jays are going to be one of those teams that's a pitching factory and they pump out arms. So we should be at that point soon where you're just like funneling these names up into the major league roster.
Be nice. It would be nice. Get ready to watch a lot of 3-1 ball games this year, Coombsy. It's going to be fun. Shout out to Botana. Oh, yeah. We'll be riding with the under a lot this year. Last kind of storyline I wanted to hit on with you. Gerrit Cole pissing his pants over a home run trot in spring training is remarkably on brand for Gerrit Cole. Daniel Vogelbach takes him deep. So maybe that's this year's Brandon Belt. It's Daniel Vogelbach, who then called himself Danny Poutine at one point. He goes yard. That's great to see. I don't know if he's actually a factor for the major league team, but Daniel Vogelbach, a larger gentleman, for those who may not know, ran the bases relatively slow. And Gerrit Cole, after the game, on Daniel Vogelbach's slow trot in the first inning, quote, "Yeah, what's the day? Are we still in February? March 1st? Yeah, he enjoyed that homer." And then he said, quote, "I don't forget a lot of things." Fucking Gerrit Cole, man, shut up.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, This is you're the reigning American League Cy Young winner. You had the best season in the American League for a pitcher by a pretty wide margin last season. Unanimously won the award. Coming into this year, here's a guy on a minor league contract who's, I don't know, trying to impress his new teammates, trying to like get in and be a part of the groove, like trying to have some fun in the late February baseball game, and you just can't handle it. I don't know, man. It was a beautiful home run. It was one of those perfect like left-handed sweet swings where you can just tell as soon as it's touched, like if this thing stays fair, then it's gone. And it's like, you can see exactly why the Blue Jays would want to have Daniel Vogelbach like on their roster. We didn't see very many times last season where someone took a pitcher like Gerrit Cole, like a good right-hander, and just took him yard like that. There weren't very many times where that happened last season. So you can see why the Jays would want a hitter like this. He hit 13 bombs last season and had a 742 OPS. I mean, if we're talking about figuring out how to replace Matt Chapman's offense, he wasn't a world beater offensively last year, but that's still like a, you know, a 750 OPS and 20 bombs, 20 doubles. So, you know, maybe Vogelbach could be the 15 home run guy the Blue Jays need, but who knows? That's a nice start for him. I don't blame the guy for taking a slow trot after hitting a home run like that. Just if you're Gerrit Cole, what you should recognize is like, this is a compliment to you, man. Like Daniel Vogelbach is proud of himself for hitting a home run off of you. Just view it that way. Stop being such a bitch.
It's just so on brand. Also, like Daniel Vogelbach doesn't run that well. So the idea that like him of all players didn't hustle enough around the bases is just like hilarious. But yeah, I mean, whatever. Get over yourself, Gerrit Cole. Absolutely. Daniel Vogelbach, maybe he ends up being a factor for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And they're going to need two or three guys like that who we, again, are down on right now or aren't talking about impact pieces and are end up turning into valuable parts of the lineup. So, yeah, there you go. Spring training headlines. Cy Young pitcher losing his mind. Oh, one other thing on that. So Gerrit Cole's angry that Daniel Vogelbach, like, whatever, slow trot. They were playing that game at the Yankees spring training ballpark. When the Yankees were hitting home runs and scoring runs, they were doing the thing with the lights where they flash the lights and like turn them on and off they do in stadiums. And it's like, all right, you kind of lose some credibility. Like, whoa, it's March. Like, what's this guy's problem? And then your home team is like flashing the lights on spring training home runs. It's kind of like, meh, that's kind of lame. I don't know. I know Gerrit Cole obviously doesn't control that, but it just adds to it a little bit, makes it a little bit funnier. Any other storylines you're watching here, Coombsy, to wrap up this pod? Something you want to keep an eye on the next 7 days of spring ball?
I guess the thing to look at now is who's going to be the best internal option to, if someone's going to bounce and come up from the minors and like give the Blue Jays what they're losing with Matt Chapman, who's the most likely one? Like John Schneider said, this is going to be some cool puzzle to solve. And it's a whole bunch of names that we saw before, like, you know, Kevin Biggio, Santiago Espinal, and then IKF. It's very similar to what they had in 2021. You remember they didn't have a real third baseman at that time, but also you had Marcus Semien playing second. So it's a bit different, but now I think the prospect pool, the players are a bit further along and it's like, there's more depth at the upper levels of the minors that maybe they could compensate, but I'm not sure who it's going to be. Is it going to be an Aroldis Martinez, Addison Barger? Is maybe like a Davis Schneider going to find a home there? Or is this finally going to be the year that, you know, the Biggio Espinal platoon winds up just being really good and both of them are good at the same time and it's, wow, we got a lefty and a righty, they're both good defensively, this is great. Honestly, who knows? There's a lot of internal options. At least it'll be interesting to follow.
All right, and we will be here as news continues to break. Not that we're expecting anything significant, but we'll keep up with the updates throughout spring training. We wanted to do a quick little 20-minute pod here on the weekend just to go over the Cole thing, the Chapman signing, all of that kind of stuff. So once again, a big, big shout out to our friends over at Betano. 19+, please play responsibly. The game starts now at betano.ca. Coombsy, we'll chat later on in the week.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.